10.
Romans chapter 10. I just want to look at one verse. There's a lot in this verse. Romans chapter 10. Verse 16 says, we've been talking about the gospel, about the preaching of the gospel, about the necessity of hearing the gospel preached. And then we read this in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now I want you to notice these words. Obeyed the gospel. They have not all obeyed the gospel. Do we obey an offer? Do you obey an offer? You obey a command, not an offer. You obey a command. You men who were and are in the military, did you have offering officers or commanding officers? When you got off the bus at boot camp, did they offer you the invitation to do 1,000,000 push-ups, or did they command you to do it? What if you would have said, I don't accept your offer? It wasn't an offer, was it? It was a command. It was a command. Well, the gospel of God is not an offer. It is a command. The gospel is a command. They have not obeyed, not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report, our gospel? The way you obey the gospel is to believe. You believe the gospel of Christ. You believe on Christ. That's how you obey the command. Paul discovered what Isaiah discovered, that not all believe the gospel. They've not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah discovered what, if you look down at verse 19, what Moses discovered. They've not all obeyed the gospel. And we discover the same thing in our day. They've not all obeyed the command, the gospel command. Now, I want to show you, first of all, the gospel is a command from God due to our nature, or due to the nature of our relationship. It's a command because of the relationship between God and sinners. Secondly, I want to show you what the sinner's disobedience to the gospel command is. What is the sinner's disobedience to the gospel command? And thirdly, how do sinners obey the gospel command? And then fourthly, what's the end of those who disobey and of those who obey the gospel command? First of all, the gospel is a command from God because of the nature of man's relationship to God. The gospel is a command because of the honor that's due to God from His creation. He's the creator. We're the creation. The natural relationship there is we're to obey God. He commands, we're to obey. God is the ruler, we are subservient to God. God commands and we're obligated to do as He commands. And this is so, whatever it is God's commanding. In the garden, when it was just Adam and Eve, the Scripture says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. That was a command. And then later, after Adam disobeyed, God sought him out and found him and said, who told you you were naked? Have you disobeyed? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee what thou shouldest not eat? It was a command. Then in Noah's day, This was a gospel command. Everything concerning the ark pictured Christ, and it was a gospel command. And the Scripture says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. They went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. That was a gospel command. I don't have to labor the point about the law being a command. Everybody understands those are called the Ten Commandments. We understand that's a command. Well, in Isaiah's day, he was a prophet. He was a preacher, just like Paul was a preacher. Just like I'm a preacher. But he was a prophet. And what he preached was to be obeyed because it was a command. That's why Isaiah said, they've not all believed our report. They've not all obeyed our gospel. It was a command. It was a command. Look at Acts chapter 17. Paul was on Mars Hill, and he was preaching, and he said they were likening God to gold and silver and stone and things graven by man's hand. And he said, verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He's not offering you to repent. He commands men to repent. 1 John 3, let's go there. 1 John 3:23. Listen to this. 1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment. It's not His offer, this is His commandment. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as Christ gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. That's how we're able to keep this commandment. It's by the Spirit of God dwelling in us, making us able to believe on Christ and love one another. In the context, in Romans 10, Paul's telling us that whether that God commands men either by law or by the gospel. He's saying if you come by the law, you have to do the whole law. If you come by the gospel, you believe on Christ. But in either case, brethren, it's a command. It's a command. Both are commands by God. Sinners are bent on disobeying God and will not obey God, whether He commands them by law or by gospel. Sinners are the same depraved creatures under the command of the law and under the command of the gospel. The same depraved creature. Just hell-bent on disobeying God, whether it's by law or by gospel. Either way. Well, so first of all, the gospel's a command because of this relationship between us and God. We're the creature. He's the creator. God commands we're to obey. The gospel's a command so that sinners know their obligation to God. This gospel comes as a command because you and I are responsible to obey this gospel. And it's to teach us we're responsible. We're obligated. We have an obligation. We're responsible to believe God and believe His gospel. I invite you to my home, let's say, and you're not obligated. That's an invitation. That's an offer. You're not obligated to come. That's why when you get an invitation in the mail, it says things like, we humbly request your presence if you'll kindly accept our invitation. But if you're commanded, you're obligated. Repentance and faith are not options. They're not options. Worship of God's Son is a command from God the Father. It's not an option. The gospel is commanded by God, and the sinner is responsible to obey God. An offer exalts the sinner. An offer exalts the sinner. It puts the gospel in your hands to accept it or reject it according to what you please, and because of that, it detracts from the honor of God. The gospel command exalts God. It exalts God, and it declares the sinners responsible to worship God, to bow to God, and he's responsible to believe on Christ. He's dependent upon God for all things. That's what this command of the gospel is for. So we're not exalting sinners by saying, now God's offering this to you. He's inviting you. Will you accept it or reject it? No. It's a command. It's a command. And the gospel is a command to honor Christ. It's a command so that Christ is honored. Christ is the prophet, priest, and king of his people. Just consider those three offices. Do you know, in our day, we don't esteem preachers highly, and I understand why. Peter said they'll tell lies so much that the gospel will be evil spoken of. And men don't respect preachers because they're such, most of them are money-grubbing phonies. And so preachers aren't respected. But when God first began and he sent his prophets, like in Moses' day, for example, the prophet was the supreme leader in the land. He was respected above all in the land. God didn't originally give kings. That was what the people in Israel wanted because they saw the nations around them. They made kings of people. And Israel wanted a king, so God gave them a king. But that's not how God originally arranged it. God gave his prophet to lead his people. That's how his people were led, through the gospel, through the preaching of the word. Now, why is that? It's because Christ is our prophet. And God was showing us Christ is the head of the church. He is our supreme ruler, our supreme leader that we follow through the preaching of the word. We don't know anything concerning the truth unless Christ teaches us in our heart effectually. That's what he does. And so this is to honor Christ as the prophet of his people. And a prophet doesn't come begging sinners. Not a true prophet. Not a true preacher. He comes on the authority of God commanding. And that's because Christ is the prophet of his people. He's the one that leads his people. He's the prophet. Then Christ also is the priest of God. The Levitical priesthood, when God gave the Levitical priesthood, the priest, the people looked to the priests because they told them how they could come to God. The priest was the one who told Israel how they could come to God. And so they looked to the priest. The priest was the one they were commanded to bring the sacrifice to. The priest was the one who the people, there were some laws where the people laid their hand on the head of the bullock, but the picture there is of the priest transferring the sins from the people to the sacrifice. Because Christ, the scripture tells us, he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Christ transferred the sin of his people to himself willingly. He's God. He did that as the high priest of his people. And he's the sacrifice who laid down his life for his people under the wrath of God, bearing the justice of God for his people. And then that high priest went alone by himself into the holiest of holies. Nobody else could represent himself to God. Only the high priest could. And only Christ can represent us to God. And so we're commanded by God to look to the high priest and trust the high priest to represent us to God. We're not offered that. We're commanded that. We're commanded that. Christ is our king. Christ is our king. Now, that's a little easier to understand because we don't have kings in this country, but we can look at other countries and know that a sovereign king, he doesn't offer you anything. When he gives you a command, it's a command that you're responsible to obey. Well, Christ is the King. He's the King. And when Christ gives His command, He's the King of heaven, earth, and hell. Everything's under His sovereign rule. And He's ruling all things, and none can say to Him, none can question Him. None can say to Him, what doest thou? He's ruling everything. We're to bow to the King. We're to come and bow to the King. We're to do as He commands. And so this is a picture of, this gospel is a command so that Christ is honored as prophet, priest, and king. Go to Luke 14. That's why the Lord Jesus gave this parable. The gospel is set forth as a feast to which men are bound to come under penalty of the king's displeasure. This gospel is a feast, and we're commanded to come to this feast. And if we don't come, it's going to be at the displeasure of the king of the feast. Look here, Luke 14, verse 16. Then said Christ unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade. That means he called many. He called. And he sent his servant. Now this man's a king. You see there, he sent his servant. At supper time, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. That's both of those excuses there to show us the absurdity of not obeying this command. Nobody buys a piece of land they haven't seen yet. Nobody buys a yoke of oxen they hadn't tried yet. You don't buy a car if you don't drive the thing. And that's to show the absurdity of these excuses. And then this last man, he said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, he was angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it's done as thou hast what? Commanded. And yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Compel them to come. For I say unto you, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You see, the gospel is set forth as a feast to which men are bound to come. They're responsible to come to this feast under penalty of the king's displeasure. We don't obey this command, the king will be angry. And that's how the gospel is set forth. We're called, we're commanded to come to this feast. We see this now when you look at these reasons I'm giving you. Do you see why men call it an offer, call the gospel an offer instead of a command? By calling it an offer, we don't consider it disobedience to refuse an offer, to refuse an invitation. We don't consider that disobedience. But we all know it's disobedience to refuse a command. They're toning down this thing of disobeying the gospel. They're toning it down. They're taking the edge off of it like they do everything else about the gospel by calling it an offer rather than a command. They shave off the offense a little, calling it an offer. And so they tone down the authority of God and they exalt the sinner. They tone down the authority of God, bring him down and bring the sinner up. That's the offense of this thing. God does not humbly request your presence at his throne. God commands you come and bow to him. And that's what God makes his people willing to do, is to come and bow. The very fact that somebody calls the gospel an offer. If you hear a preacher called the gospel an offer. That ought to put you on alert at how he's going to handle the rest of the gospel, the contents of the gospel. If he's toning down what the gospel actually is and not calling it a command, he's calling it an offer, that's how he's going to deal with the doctrine of the gospel too. He's going to take the edge off. He's going to exalt the sinner and bring God down. Now, secondly, what is the sinner's disobedience to the gospel command? What's the disobedience of a sinner to this command? Disobedience to this gospel command is a refusal to bow to God as God. That's what it is. It's a refusal to bow to God as God. It's a refusal to own God as God, to own His authority. You know, over there in Psalm 14, in verse 1, we usually read this wrong. Men apply this to an atheist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you'll go read that, there is in italics. That means the translators added it to make it read more smoothly. What the original actually says is, the fool has said in his heart, no God. He's saying to God, no, I won't obey you. That's what he's not saying there is no God. He knows there's a God. He's saying in his heart, no, I will not obey you. There's a difference. There's a huge difference. He's refusing to own God as God. Disobedience is to question the motive of the sender. God sent Christ into this world because He freely loved His people and would save His people by His free grace. And He sent Christ to work out everything to honor His holy law so He could save a sinner and show mercy consistent with His justice, make justice and mercy meet in harmony. The person who will not believe the gospel calls God a liar. That's what the Scripture says. He questions the motive of the sender, and he calls God a liar by not believing the gospel. Now listen to me. If you're sitting here today and you haven't believed the gospel, this is what you're doing. You're saying no, God, and you're questioning God's motive. You're calling God a liar. Calling Him a liar. Disobedience is to reject the gift of God, is to reject the unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus the Lord. There's no gift like this. This is the unspeakable gift. Our Lord gave His only begotten Son. And those who disobey this command are rejecting Him. Do you know what an affront it is to you? If you spent a lot of money and there was something very valuable that you purchased and you gave to somebody as a gift, and they looked at that gift and went, I'm not going to receive it. I don't want that. You know what an affront that would be to you? Just imagine God sending His only begotten Son and some little sinner disobeying God by not believing on Him. Christ was rich and He became poor beyond imagination to make His people rich. And some sinner is going to look at Him and hear about Him and the poverty He endured to make His people rich in grace and righteousness and holiness, and he's going to reject Christ and disobey this command? To reject Christ is to spit in God the Father's face by spitting in God the Son's face. Here's what it says. Disobedience to this gospel command says, I would rather be damned then trust the Son of God as my Savior. That's what disobedience says. I'd rather be damned in hell for eternity than trust God and believe on His Son. Now, those that disobey, they do so because it's their own fault. They disobey because it's their own fault. It's the natural, depraved will of man to disobey God. Since we disobeyed that first command in the garden, that's been our will from then on, to disobey God. Now, thirdly, how do sinners obey this gospel command? How are we brought to obey this gospel command? Well, I'm going to talk about you and how you obey it. And then we're going to talk about God a little bit. First of all, it's not to merely hear the gospel. That's involved. You must come here. With faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God through the preaching of the Word. You must hear it, but it's not hearing it only. It's not just showing up where the gospel's preached. That's not obeying the gospel. It's not crediting it and liking it. It's not saying, this has to be true. It's not just believing in God and believing in the way of salvation and saying, well, yeah, that's got to be so. The devils believe it's so. The devils believe God. They believe Christ. They believe that the way God saves is the only way to be saved. They believe that. It's not that. It's not preaching it. A man can preach it and be lost. It's not just preaching it. It's obeying the command and casting all your care on Christ. Believing on Christ. You trusting Christ. That's what it is. That's how you obey this command. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing Christ, trusting Christ is all your salvation. At the same time, it's a renunciation. It's an abhorrence of your own works, of your own will. It's a total change of mind. That's what repentance is. So that you see yourself as a sinner, unable, and you abhor yourself. And all that you ever thought was of righteousness, now you see it as total, nothing but filthy rags. And it's discipleship under the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to come to Christ, to be taught of Christ by His teaching and by His example. That's why when we come here to hear Christ teach us, we're coming to be disciples, students of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn through His gospel and to learn by looking at Him and learn His example of how we're to conduct ourselves as we go through this life. What He would have us to do to further the gospel, what He would have us to do to give Him the honor and the glory so that sinners can hear Him. And those who obey the gospel do so one way. It's only by the sovereign grace of God. Christ Himself has to make us willing to obey. He has to come in His power and create a new man within us by the Spirit of God. We have to be born again. He said you must be born again. That which is born the first time is flesh and hates God. And He has to create a new man within where there's a hatred of our sinful selves and a love for God and truth. And He has to give you faith and repentance and all of these things. So if we obey the gospel command, that's why believers praise God. That's why we give Him the glory, because it's all of Him, everything. We believe this gospel and obey this gospel because of Him and what He's done. Now, what is the end of those who disobey and of those who obey? Well, go to Mark 16:16. This is summed up for us in one verse by the Master Himself. Mark 16:16. He says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's the end of those who believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Here's the end of those that obey not. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty direct and to the point, isn't it? If you refuse to obey the gospel, your hearts will be hardened deeper in unbelief. You know, men have this tendency of thinking, I'm going to put that off to another day. I'm going to put it off to another day. And one day I'll believe. One day down the road, I'll believe. And usually the thought runs like this pattern. I'm going to kick up my heels and have a good time while I'm young. And when I get older, then I'll believe. You won't ever believe. God said, "The man who's often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be cut off." You will be hardened and hardened more in sin to where God has turned you over in reprobation. And there be no believing. There be no grace. What kind of dishonor is it to be told and have to be told something over and over and over by our earthly fathers before we'll obey? That's dishonoring. If you've just heard the gospel one time, that ought to be enough. That ought to make us fall down on our face and believe God if we just heard His command one time. We're going to have to keep hearing it over and over and over and disobeying it, walking out with our neck hardened and our neck hardened. How would your earthly father react to that? Don't tempt God. Don't tempt God. To refuse to mean you'll be hardened in your sins in deeper unbelief, and to die in your sins means your blood's on your own heads. I was thinking of this week. You know, Christ says, "Believe on me, take up your cross, and follow me." When He says, "Take up your cross as a believer," that means simply that because you're identifying with Christ, and because you're confessing Christ, and you're proclaiming that Christ is the only way of salvation, you're going to receive some rejection from men, and you're going to suffer. But it's light affliction, as Scripture says. It's very light affliction. It's just for a moment. It's light, the things we have to suffer as believers. And it's surely light in comparison with what Christ suffered for us. But if you don't believe this gospel, you're still going to take up your cross. But it's going to be a different one. You're going to take it up, and you're going to answer for all your transgressions against God yourself forever in hell. But one way or the other, you're going to take up the cross. You're either going to take it up in faith and suffer light affliction for the cause of Christ because you believe Him and you obey Him, or you'll be made to take it up yourself and suffer for all your sins. See, He already bore that for His people. So this cross that we bear is light affliction. Because He's borne the wrath of God for us. But if a man is ashamed of Christ and will not obey Christ in this life, then you'll take up a cross, but it'll be the cross of bearing all your own sin and your blood on your head under the wrath of God for eternity. But those who believe Him, if by God's grace you obey the gospel command, He says, you shall be saved. Close your eyes, and immediately, the believer is going to be with the Lord. Immediately. In spirit. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Immediately, we're going to close our eyes in death and be present with the Lord. And when He returns, He's going to raise our vile bodies incorruptible. And we're going to have a real body. We're going to have a real body in heaven and be perfect within and without and be able to worship Christ perfectly with no sin and no interruption forever. He says, "Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, by the authority of God, I command you, believe on Christ. I'm not offering this to you. I'm not inviting you. I'm commanding you to believe on Christ. And I have God's authority to command you that. Believe on Christ. Do it today. And I pray He'd make you willing to truly believe Him today. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Pray, Lord, that this word would come today like a lightning bolt into the heart of one of Your lost sheep as a command. As a command from the sovereign of heaven. And make us bow and make us willing and make us cast our care on Christ. confess you willingly in baptism and unite with your people and follow you all our days. Lord, we pray this for your glory, for your honor, that you bring us to see our relationship to you for the honor of Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. Make us today willing to believe you and obey your gospel. Forgive us, Lord, our sins. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.